All right. Well, it's a blessing to be here for sure. It's a blessing to have Steve's back. It's a blessing to have visitors here this morning and people who aren't maybe official members but aren't really visitors either who have been attending. It's really good to have you here this morning, too. This morning, I'm going to talk about our contribution in the kingdom of heaven. But I want to be really clear starting out here that if it's not for Jesus, it's not because he's worthy to be praised and to be surrendered to, then none of this matters, okay? So I want to be very clear at the beginning about that. But I am excited to share this morning what I've found studying the book of Acts recently. So let me ask you this question. What do you suppose determines the upper limit of your contribution to God's kingdom? So you've got people like, you know, of yesteryear, like Dwight Moody and John Wesley and George Whitefield. So were they intrinsically different than what you are? And how is God able to use them to such an extent? And then there's another question that goes with that as well, which is, if God called you to serve at a higher level, if he called you to serve more people than what you're serving right now, would you be willing to do that? Now, I think as a church, we've been thinking a lot about church growth. We're a small body, and we'd like to grow. We'd like to have more impact. And part of the reason we've been thinking about it a lot, too, is because Steve has been preaching through a series on church leadership and church mission and how all of that applies to us. Last Sunday, Eric was preaching on boldness. Jason recently was preaching on patience. And so it's no wonder that some of these things have been on my mind. And so I wanted to take a look at the book of Acts and see what actually occurred there that allowed for that explosive growth for the early church. Because, we had whole like towns and regions coming to Christ. And apparently very short amounts of time. And so I wanted to see what was actually going on there. If the Gospels are kind of like a drama and the Epistles are kind of like a lecture series, I would say the book of Acts is kind of like an adventure or an action film. So there's a lot of activity and a lot of really cool things going on in the book of Acts. Now, I do want to say that prayer and preaching are two sort of pillars of what occurs in the book of Acts. But it's not what I'm going to focus on so directly this morning. So it is absolutely fundamental. Keep that in mind as we go through here. But I want to focus on a few of the other aspects that kind of went with that. So kind of circling back around to the question of being willing to serve God at a higher level. So if it was possible for us to be more effective for God, and then would we also have the responsibility to be more effective? So it's, in other words, if you can do more for God, is it then your responsibility to do all that you can? If you had the cure for, let's say, all kinds of cancers, but you never really got intentional about getting the information published. I mean, you told your friends, but you never developed a strategy for actually getting it done. Now, would that be an ethical breach? Like, is that wrong? So I'm just kind of leave that question hanging there a little bit, and I want to start diving into the book of Acts and seeing, is there a recipe, is there a blueprint that kind of indicates how it might be possible to have a major impact in our world? So here's the key concept, and if you only write down one sentence on your smartphone, this is the one you're going to write down this morning. Exponential growth occurs when we step through God's doors of public ministry. Now, at first glance, this sentence may seem either obvious to you or not particularly significant. But I would love to do this too, and I'm not going to, but it'd be interesting to know, as I read that sentence, which parts of it caught your attention, if any of them did. For some, it might have been the public part, it might have been the ministry part, it might have been the God's doors part, okay? So we're going to kind of break that down today and look at some of those different aspects. Number one, exponential growth occurs when we step through God's doors of public ministry. So in looking at the book of Acts, I'm just going to start looking in chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit began to really move. Well, he was moving before this, okay, but this is where it became really obvious at the day of Pentecost. So all the disciples are here in one building, I guess, or in one place, and they're praying. And it says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And it goes on to say how that there were tongues like fire. And it also says that at the time, there were basically Jews from every nation were here in Jerusalem at that point where this was taking place. So in verse 6 it says, when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. And it goes on to say that in verse 12 then, that they were amazed and they were perplexed. And they asked one another, what does this mean? So aside from the phenomenon of people understanding all their own languages, which is incredible, notice what's going on here. So basically the people come together. And this is now when Peter has an opportunity to preach. So if God hadn't given Peter this opportunity by bringing all these people together, he wouldn't have had that particular opportunity. Now, he could have still gone to a synagogue or this or that, but in this particular case, God brought these people together. He created an opportunity for Peter to speak. And you see when Paul, throughout the book of Acts, does his preaching, you see fewer, perhaps so dramatic examples of people coming together. It's often starts with him going to a synagogue and so forth. However, even in that case, there's an instance where the people, it really captures their attention. And they're like, hey, you know, can you teach us next Saturday, next Sabbath? And it says basically the whole town basically showed up to hear. And once again, I don't think that was because Paul was just so clever. I think that was because God was giving him an opportunity, a stage, if you will, to share his message. So here's how, I guess, the writer in the book of Acts kind of summarizes Paul and Barnabas's report in Acts 14:27. They had gone on their mission trip, and then they had come back and were reporting. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So, was Paul obedient? Absolutely. But still, it was what God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So, this is kind of where I want to start this morning, and is that, you know, we're going to be challenged on our own contribution, but it starts with God giving us the opportunity. It starts with God empowering us. And so that's where all this begins. So the who all knows what a Lamborghini is, roughly speaking? Okay. So high-end sports car brand. And the 2018, I'm not actually sure how you pronounce it. Online it said something like Huracan. Okay. So the Huracan has up to 630 horsepower. However, let's say you had the Huracan, it was sitting in your driveway. If it had no gas in the tank, how many horsepower would it have?
Zero.
It would be zero. All right. So when it's not God giving us the opportunities, when God is not working through us, we can be prepared for this idea that we'll have zero horsepower, zero effectiveness. So the action item here on this particular point is basically to pray for opportunities and to look for opportunities. You know, I think we can see from Paul's example that while he was specifically called by God, I don't know that he always waited, that he was always just waiting around until something popped up for him to do. I think he was actively going out and finding people to talk to. I think probably the same for Peter as well. Number two, exponential growth occurs when we step through God's doors of public ministry. So in the book of Acts, there's basically two primary forms of ministry as far as to people who do not yet believe the message of Christianity. Now within the church, they're sharing generously, they're breaking bread, they're fellowshipping, they're having a great time of community inside the church. But as far as people who are not a part of the church yet, what are they doing? So basically two things, preaching and healing. Those are the primary, from what I can see in the book of Acts, those are the primary things that the apostles and the leaders are doing for people who are not yet believers and who to serve them, essentially. So whatever, whether it was preaching, whether it was healing, these were things that brought genuine value to the people that they were talking to. And but one of the thoughts that kind of galvanized my study, this is not a thought directly from Scripture, so think about it, see if you if it aligns with what you know of Scripture. But to me, it is still a powerful concept, and here it is. Or at least the possibility that our capacity for growth might be limited only by our willingness to serve. So, like I said, this isn't directly from Scripture, so analyze it carefully. But I think it's a good place to start. When we're not getting the results that we like to see, we might consider whether we're actually serving in the way we should be serving. Jesus talked about this idea of if you want to be a great person, or if you intend to be a great person, how do you go about doing that? And he said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, I don't think Jesus was saying here, if you want to inflate your ego and you want to be, you know, the awesome guy, that you need to serve people so you can manipulate them into thinking that you're great and therefore, you know, be famous. That wasn't the point. I think the point really was that serving, that is greatness. That's not just becoming great. That is greatness, is to serve. And so, you know, if we're to kind of shift back to our shiny Lamborghini sitting in the driveway here, if that Lamborghini's engine does not have any oil, how fast and how far is that engine going to go? It has gas, let's say, but no oil. Okay, so that's going to be a very short, probably not very fast trip, right? And I think where our desire for growth and impact, if that desire is somehow self-serving, it taints the dish. So it's kind of like if you were to make a batch of brownies and you just added some fresh cow manure to it. At first, you maybe couldn't see the difference, but the longer it goes, the more it stinks, right? And so whenever our desire to make progress becomes fueled by our selfish ambition rather than a desire to serve, and then I think it is truly going to taint the dish. And not only that, but I think it can blind us to truly serving. So, you know, business is one of my interests, and this is, I think, is a major problem for businesses, is that they're so focused on their own profits, their own product offerings, their own whatever it is, that they fail to truly serve their customers the way their customers want to be served. And that can happen when we get too wrapped up in our own pursuit of greatness and impact, rather than stopping to ask, well, how would he really have me serve the people that he's called us to? Number three. Exponential growth occurs when we step through God's doors of public ministry. So here is probably where I'm going to start challenging you a bit more. Now, if you'll notice in the book of Acts, the phenomena that took place were very, a lot of them were very public. So you had, you know, the day of Pentecost, words like amazed, astonished, perplexed. These are the sorts of things that are occurring for the population as they're observing what's going on. And so I'm going to challenge us a little bit here, and I want to be very careful on this particular point, but I think the idea that exponential growth occurs in the context of public ministry, I think, is a very important one. So personal ministry, so one-on-one, is absolutely important, and all of us come to Jesus personally, one-on-one, and it happens on a person-by-person basis. So my point here is not at all to discourage or diminish the importance of person, one person ministering to one person. That is always important, will always be necessary in the kingdom of heaven. However, looking at the book of Acts, it appears that in terms of the exponential growth, it appears that that was the result more of public ministry. Now, certainly there are records in the book of Acts of Paul, maybe Peter as well, of their one-on-one evangelism. So it's absolutely something we should be looking at and doing. But it appears that the growth, the really radical growth, was coming through public ministry. Now, I would say this, that if you think God has called you to public ministry, He's probably going to be looking for faithfulness in personal ministry first. So I believe that's always the starting point. And I believe that God always calls us to be faithful with what we've been given before, generally, He puts much bigger things into our lap. So keep all that in mind. But as a whole, as a church, as an organization, I hope that we would look at public ministry as being a very important part of our growth strategy. Now, public nowadays may not be necessarily a street corner. It may not be a town hall even, or a park. Public may be YouTube. It may be Facebook. It could be a blog. So public, you know, has a lot of different potential avenues, but it's the idea of more than one-to-one. It's the idea of one-to-many. So, for instance, back to our shiny Lamborghini. So it can drive on regular streets, no problem. And it could even be useful driving on regular streets. But it's not going to, you know, going through a school zone at 25, it's not going to be put to full use. So it needs to be on the racetrack, right, before you really can get the full benefit of its capabilities. Jesus said you don't light a lamp and then put it under a basket. You put it on a lampstand so it can give light to all who are in the house. And so, consider, if you're already being faithful in personal one-to-one ministry, consider whether God may be calling you to something a little more public. Which kind of leads right into point number four. Exponential growth occurs when we step through God's doors of public ministry. So, you see, God could give us the opportunity, and it could be a public one. It could be truly serving. Everything could be perfectly positioned and ready to go. And if we don't actually do it, nothing will happen. So there is still the element, even though God is the one empowering, He's the one providing the opportunity, if we don't actually go with Him and do it, it's not going to get done. Or at least not get done by us. Maybe someone else God will have in the wings in case we don't work out. I don't know. Now, I would say that we're not all equally called to public ministry, okay? So maybe you're called, first of all, to a prayer ministry. Or maybe you're called in this stage of life, first of all, to minister to your children. Or maybe it's caring for orphans. So I don't mean to say that public ministry is intrinsically more important in the eyes of God, but I do mean that He has called some people to do it, and if they refuse to do it, and then the growth that we see in Acts is probably not going to happen. Now, here's another thought for you to consider. You probably won't know whether you're called to go public until you're willing to go public, right? So now it may be that God will let you know even before you're willing to, but I'm going to hazard a guess that most likely you're not going to actually have clarity around this until you actually have a willingness to be obedient if you're called to a more public ministry. And the reason, I guess this is not, for me, this is not just a hypothetical, you know, for some Christians out there, probably this is something they need to hear. But I do believe that we have people here at our church who have the ability, the capacity, and even the calling for a much more public ministry than we are currently participating in. And it is my hope and even my passion that we would step into that rather than either just miss it because we're not focused on it, or that we would let the devil's chatter about how we're really not qualified and we're really not that good and our message is really not quite that important, that we should be the ones to actually take that step into the public eye. I think being willing to go public, I'm not just talking about a willingness that's like, well, you know, if God drags me kicking and screaming, then I guess I would go in that case. Or if there was like a lightning bolt from heaven or something, that I would just be like kind of flattened on the ground. And then at that point I would say, okay, I got the message, cool. But I think it would, even in the case of actively seeking an opportunity, obviously with the call of God, with the blessing of God, and in step with Him for sure, not in a self-serving manner at all, but to take that personal responsibility to say, God, if you're wanting to use me in a bigger way to reach more people at a time than what I am right now, then I'm willing to do that, and I'm even going to look for ways to do that because, well, first of all, because Jesus is worthy, right? But also because whatever we can do to move the kingdom forward, we should be doing, right? So once again, exponential growth occurs when we step through God's doors of public ministry. So give it some thought. Is your sports car sitting in the garage with dust covering the windshield? Is it maybe idling in the driveway? How could the rest of us support and encourage you so that you'd be ready and willing to head to the racetrack? I believe exponential growth is possible, and I look forward to seeing what God will do as we cooperate with Him in that. And just a, kind of a final reminder, it's not about growth for its own sake. It's not about growth for our own sake, but about whatever it is that God wants to see happen here on the earth before He comes back, that we're not the ones sitting around hoping that somehow it will happen, but we're the ones actively engaged in making His kingdom come and His will be done. Are you ready to go public? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You are worthy of all praise and of all honor and glory and blessing. Your goodness is available for every soul, every single person on the earth. And we thank You that Your goodness continues to wash down over us and to bless us. Father, for myself, for everyone here, for everyone listening, I pray that we wouldn't miss what You're saying to us. That where You're calling us to a greater faithfulness, a more public faithfulness, a willingness to go where we're not immediately comfortable in going, Father, I pray that we would genuinely seek those opportunities, take those opportunities, and that Your name would receive more and more glory. Thank You for Your good plans. Thank You that we do not need to to struggle and stress, but that we can step in sync with you, and that your power and your blessing can both pave the way and direct us in the way as we go with you. Pray that you would bless the rest of our day here together. In Jesus' name, amen.